Now, the rest of the story. To the soldiers who served respectfully under him, he was the old man. To his detractors, he was old blood and guts. To War Department officials reflecting on the odd-looking military uniform he had designed, he was the Green Hornet. To history, he is George Smith Patton, Jr., Georgie Patton, one of the most colorful, most remarkable fighting men of this or any century. But this is the rest of the story. America was on the verge of involving itself in a Second World War. General George Patton was not about to be left out. In the summer of 1940, he went to Fort Benning, Georgia, as a brigade commander with the 2nd Armored Division. He was itching to take on Hitler's awesome armored army. But when he got to Fort Benning, he was sorely disappointed. The 300-plus tanks he found there were in shocking disrepair. Panels rusting, parts missing, more than 2,000 other vehicles, trucks and jeeps, motorcycles and half-tracks, in a similarly sorry state. Now, George Patton was a serious-minded, dedicated soldier, and he knew how stone-cold critical it was to get this fighting machinery back into working order. And yet, there unraveled a sticky something that threatened to bind Patton's hands throughout the remainder of his career. Army red tape. Argue as he might, he simply could not get the spare parts he needed through official channels. So Patton did something which would doubtless have gotten him into all kinds of trouble today. He made an end run around the United States Army. He circumvented their standard operating procedures by seeking to get private money to renovate the 2nd Armored Division. And the individual he got to finance that renovation, you just would not believe. The secret benefactor. He was a wealthy man. He was known in some circles as a socialite. He was really known in some circles as a playboy type. He owned a yacht. He owned a string of polo ponies. He was the last person you'd ever expect to finance the restoration of our military establishment. An envious few insisted that he flaunted his wealth. And yet what he exhibited was just really exuberance for life itself. It was a real lifelong passion for fun. But now there arose a serious need. The United States would be embroiled in a global conflict in no time at all. George Patton knew it. He also knew that Americans must not march into this battle as an ill-equipped laughingstock, and thus stepped forward this, until now, secret donor. A concerned 55-year-old benefactor who, as I say, had a reputation more as a playboy, but who footed the entire bill out of his own pocket to repair Patton's tanks and trucks and half-tracks and the rest, never ever to be reimbursed by the United States government. He never was reimbursed. The total personal cost to him, surely enormous, was a sum that he kept mum all the way to his grave. For the concerned citizen who quietly put his own cash on the line was no civilian. It was General George Patton himself. Patton, personally, out of his own private resources, got his division's war machinery rolling with a multitude of spare parts. Spare parts costing untold thousands, which he, Patton, had ordered directly from a Sears Roebuck catalog. And now you know the rest of the story.